Hello, and thank you for visiting the podcast section of Workforce 3.1. Today we will be listening in on Gay Gilbert, who will be talking about using WIA funds in support of economic development. Let's listen in.
Good morning, everybody. I am actually very excited to be here with you today. Our issuance of the Training, Employment, and Guidance Letter related to how we use WIA funds for economic development was a long time in coming, and nobody more excited than I was when it finally hit the street. So I'm glad to be here to sort of talk about its content. And my goal here today really is to kind of walk through the framework that's in the TEGL. Clearly, workforce development is no longer just a transactional kind of thing where we're having individuals walk and businesses come into our one-stop career centers and matching them up or connecting to training. The issue areas that we're facing in understanding where the talent needs are in our regional economies and how we ensure that the individuals that we're serving are gaining access to the right kinds of skills and moving into both educational and career pathways that match and really help feed that economy. It's a different context. And also that we're just facing some really hard workforce development challenges these days. And so how we connect our talent to our economic development becomes more and more important. Our goal really has been to expand employment and advancement opportunities while at the same time really catalyzing new jobs. If we align our resources and our talent, including our public workforce investment system, to strategies that are connected, fully connected to education and economic development, we're going to be winning on all fronts. That we'll be helping to drive the economy as well as helping drive the individual prosperity of the folks we're serving. And that obviously requires pretty strong strategic partnerships. And one of the fundamental things we think it also requires is that we literally integrate the systems of workforce, education, and economic development in some really brand new and different ways. We're talking about blending the systems and how they function, which is very different. And so we're really saying to the workforce system, we really need to transform how we engage in that economic development activity. So it becomes really important that we understand sort of financially how our resources can then be aligned to that kind of activity. I think what we've attempted to do with the TEGL is to clarify, sort of sort out where is it that our WIA funds can legitimately be used in the context of economic development and where can they not. WIA funds may be used for economic development activities if they are directly related to training. Let me give you an example of that one. If you are working collaboratively with your economic development agency because you're trying to either help a business expand or you are looking to attract a new facility to your region and you're looking to make sure that the plant understands that you have training resources to upskill the workforce either for new entrants into their workforce or even to do, if it's an expansion, potentially some incumbent worker training, for you to be at the table talking about those things, preparing information for that discussion and also helping them understand what dollars you have available to do the training and ultimately doing training in that circumstance contributes to economic development in a very positive way. Those are all activities that relate directly to training. Clearly, WIA funds can be used for education and training for the skills required in the industries and the occupations that are critical to your state or regional economy. So as you come to the table in an integrated way with economic development to understand how you want to drive your regional economy and where the talent development needs are, and then how you follow on with how you strategically invest your dollars, those are clearly a connectivity and an appropriate use of dollars. And to actually spend the dollars then on getting folks into and moving toward post-secondary education in most cases with your training dollars, both for new entrants and for incumbent workers, is perfectly legitimate. Rapid response is a really interesting area, and I think really lots of opportunities around rapid response. Clearly, when we're having to do a rapid response intervention, an economy is in transition in some way because of some kind of economic shock or pending economic shock. How we respond to those economic shocks can happen in several different places and can be all part of a broader economic either transformational process or response in a response to the shock. So everything from layoff aversion to how you help retain your plants or your businesses in your regional economy by upskilling workers in new skills that are demanded for that business or industry, because otherwise you're going to lose that business or industry, can be a rapid response activity. Another area that I think is huge, our workforce system has for a very long time been one of a very key producer and collector of economic and workforce and labor market information kind of data and resources. And we've learned now, I think, in our time working in, under the WIRED framework and how critical it is to be able to have access to a whole wide array of data, to be able to analyze it, to be able to integrate it, to be able to transform it into usable products for our customers, including our economic development customers, is absolutely critical. It helps us identify where assets are, where gaps are. It helps us try, as we do interventions, to figure out whether those interventions are making any difference or not. It helps us really understand the industries in that region. So all of that activity is huge and all of it incredibly important to your economic development partners. And all of it, I think, is clearly allowable under WIA and Wagner-Peiser for that matter. Again, back to this notion that if there are employment-generating activities or economic development activities that are not directly related to training, that's not an option. Foreign travel is generally not an option. Just bottom line, foreign travel and the trade junkets were one of the things that I think were actually envisioned as not being appropriate. The one last issue I want to kind of hit on is sort of funding flexibility. Clearly, we have waiver authority, and we've been working here at the Department of Labor for some time now to really expand the use of waivers and encourage the use of waivers, particularly as it relates to funding flexibility. So that pretty much frees you up from a lot of the eligibility requirements in any of those funding streams and allows you to be much more innovative and creative about how you use your dollars to educate and train as part of a talent development strategy in support of economic development. So we look forward to working with you, and thanks very much.
This concludes today's podcast on using WIA funds in support of economic development. For more information, please refer to the complete webinar presentation on Workforce 3.1 by logging into Workforce 3.1, clicking the Webinars tab, and clicking the link for the list of recorded webinars. As always, please feel free to browse through our podcast archives for related presentations. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Thank you for visiting Workforce 3.1.